It's a whole, like, that was just a couple of days, and we have a whole other thing that you guys will be able to see in a little while. But thank you guys so much. It has been an incredible week here, and Daryl and Nikki, thank you so much for having us back, and it's just been such a blessing, and I don't know, I kind of feel like this week that, I don't know if maybe if those that serve this week, I feel like a switch was flipped on this week. I feel like it just took to another level, like you got like an, we have like an extra power boost that just we went into, and I know that being our third summer back with you guys, it's just been such a blessing. I was telling some of our team members, I said, I actually know some of you guys better than I knew some of our team. I actually met some of them when they got to the airport here in Dublin. So I was like, I need to learn some of them, and I know you guys, so help me to be able to make us one big family, and we got to be that. So, well, again, my name is Jeff, and if you had spent about 20 minutes with me, you would know that I'm passionate about a couple things. The first one is missions. I love missions. I've been doing that. This is my 20th year of doing missions teams with doing youth ministry and starting Last Leaf about 5 years ago. But I love the opportunities that we have. If you were here last week, I was telling you about some pictures. I just got pictures yesterday. The church is finished from Costa Rica, and they actually have their first service next Sunday. So you can be praying for them on August 5th. Their brand new church has opened up. If you want to see pictures later on, I'll show them to you. But the other thing I love is community, and I'm convinced more and more that the necessity of community, that we have to work together, and we have to love on each other. And this week, you guys did that so well. And so if you're new here today, I'm telling you that this is an amazing community to be a part of. I have only been a part of it for 27 days, which is really, really weird to think about, like 3 years in a row, 9 days. I feel like I always say that when you have a missions team when you spend that time together, it's like 9 months of relationship. So it's pretty much like 3 years, but it's only 27 days, which doesn't seem possible. And then the other things that I'm passionate about is sports. I love sports, so if I know we don't talk a lot of sports here because I like American football and you guys don't. And so, but I am, I'm not going to tell you what team I am a fan of over here. Someone told me that I needed to like this team, but I won't go there because some of you might not listen to the rest of my sermon. And then the last thing, and which is the most important thing to me, is family. I love family, and I can say that if you had to take everything away from that, if I was only being known for being good at one thing, I'd want to be known as a great dad. That to me is the highest calling I feel, more than of being a pastor or a leader or anything like that. I feel like being a dad is a very, very important calling. And the time that you have with your children is very, very short, and you need to make the most of those moments, because it's really, really easy to get really busy, and you can kind of farm out your children to other things, but you have the opportunity to disciple and to love on them and to care about them. And so that to me is one of the greatest things that I think God's given me, and he's given me a wonderful wife and 3 beautiful daughters, and I'm so thankful to get to serve with them. Like this week is very humbling for me when I watch them, you know, just giving and serving and sharing Christ and speaking and leading songs. I did that for years and years, where I would have teenagers and I'd have parents along and say, isn't that so cool seeing your kids up there? And now, like, it's been the past couple years, I watch them lead a song, and I'm just kind of blown away that here they are, there's my girls that are doing what I was helping other people to be able to do. So as I say that, I really started to look at families in the Bible. And it is really, really hard to find solid families in the Bible. Let's take a couple instances. Our first family, Adam and Eve, okay? Not a great start for us. One accused the other one, kind of ruined a lot of things for us. They had kids, all right? They had several kids, 2 boys. One murdered the other son, all right? And so, or one murdered the other brother. And when I look at that, I'm like, my brother and I didn't get along. I've been more on the side. I was younger than him, and there are some things that I did that I think he was trying to murder me. But he, fortunately, I'm still alive. I'm thankful for that. But then another family says is Abraham. All right, Abraham's family. And if you read this story, if you read your Bible through it, these are great stories to look at. But God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And for a long time, they didn't have it. When he promised that they were older already. And sometimes we take matters into our own hands. And Abraham said, hey, God promised a child, but we're going to try it a different route. And so in that, the story gets even crazier. He ended up having a child with someone named Hagar. All right. And so any baby Hagars around? No, I don't. I think Hagar is just such an interesting name. But they had a son, Ishmael. And the story gets crazy, but read that for yourself. I won't take on time on that one. And then there's this other guy named Lot, all right, Lot's family. And I'm not even going to dive into that one. All I know is that his wife turned around, and she turned into a pillar of salt. It's an insane story. But what he did with his children, so, so tough. And then the fourth one I think about is Isaac and Jacob, all right? Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And again, another sibling rivalry over birthrights. And the one sold another person. The one got him to sell his birthright for like a bowl of soup kind of thing. I mean, I get hungry sometimes, but I don't know if I would give up my birthright because of all the things that came along with that. And so, and also mom got involved and helped out Jacob to trick dad. All right, so moms, I know you love your kids. Don't go beyond what that is and trick them into doing something that's really, really wrong. And so you think about that. So then you have Esau wanting to kill Jacob. So Jacob had to run away. He ran off to his crazy uncle Laban's house. All right. Did anybody have that crazy uncle? Come on. You guys have that crazy uncle. We all do. All right. And so he went there and he was working and doing that. And he fell in love with this one girl. But then he got tricked by the older daughter. Like, I don't know how that happened, but that's a whole other story. But then he goes, oh, you know what? I'm really sorry that happened. But if you stay another 7 years, then you can have the daughter that you wanted. Like, this is crazy stuff, all right? Crazy, crazy stories of families in the Bible. We're trying to find models of families here, okay? Then the last one, we'll look at Jesus, all right? Here's Jesus, and he was with his mom and dad, and they were going for a long walk. And have you ever lost your child before? All right, oh, let's go this way. Have you ever been lost before? All right, did you ever get lost? All right, I'm not talking about the hiding in like the clothes rack kind of thing where you're in one of your shops and you're just hiding and you're being really, really silent and the round rack and mom or dad is yelling out for you and you're being really silent. Like, this is like full out lost. This is like we're walking miles away and Joseph says, Mary, do you see Joseph? Did you see Jesus? Nope. No, I thought you had him. And they had to go back to find him. And you know where they found him at? Where? Yeah, they found him. They found him at the temple in church. And then Jesus giving that horrible 12-year-old, little bit of sarcasm, little bit of like, didn't you know that I'd be in my father's house kind of thing? And you wanted just to be like, you wanted to shake him because you were scared. But I look at that and say that all these families here, you might look at this and say, this is insane. Like, what are we supposed to model our family off of? And but I can tell you that family sometimes is a beautiful mess, isn't it? All right? When it's a beautiful mess. So this sermon easily could be titled, How Do We Survive Our Family? All right? How do we get through? How do we get them off the university and be able to send them off? But I'm telling you that God has something special for the time that you have your children. You're always going to be their parent, but there's a special time. I know there's a lot of you in here that maybe don't have kids yet, but I'm telling you, it's when you're going to find that right person and you're going to have a family. This is going to be really crucial, some of the things I'm saying today. For those of you who have families and have children, I hope this will be a blessing to you today. So I want to start off with a scripture. It's from Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5. And it says this. I'm going to read it I'll read that one. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from heaven. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them, and he will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. This is another version called The Passion. It says, children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. And I just think that we need to realize the blessing it is to have children and the blessing it is to be able to pour into their lives. So I want to put some just quick perspective about family, which is I think is important for us, is that God started the world with marriage and then with family. It was way before he started the church. Before the church was started, there was marriage and then there was family. And the thing is that unfortunately we're at a point now where we have replaced a home with the church. And so all spiritual learning, like all worship, all those things happen at church typically. At least I'll say it for the United States. I'll let you decide if it's for here, but I'm telling you in the United States that we've replaced that. We're at a point now in the United States especially is that faithful church attendance is three times in 2 months. That's faithful church attendance. That means it's 1.5 times a month. I'm not sure how you get the 0.5 unless you come late every Sunday. If you come late, then that's maybe where your 0.5 comes in. But 1.5 times a month. And I think about that is that we need to change that. That needs to change. We need family. We need the church. We need the community of this together. And I would say that when we go to school, all right, let's say that your children are in school for 40 hours. There's 40 hours of learning. There's ways to measure that. But then how do you measure spiritual growth? Because we're in church for maybe 1 to 2 hours at best. So we have learning in school versus spiritual learning, 40 hours to 2 hours. That's never going to equal the same. You're never going to get the same results of that. So we have to take our responsibility as families, as parents, to be able to pour into our children. Because if we put all that responsibility on the church, there's no way that we're ever going to equal the same amount of what school is doing, what we're doing in school. And so so my encouragement today is that we need to have a mind shift. We need to have this mind shift to know that having a family, it's a blessing and it's not a burden. It's a blessing and it's not a burden. And so there's 3 points I'm going to hit really, really fast today, but I hope this will be an encouragement to you. Number one is this: let God inhabit your home. Let God inhabit your home. Have you ever walked into a peaceful house before? Like you just go in and you just sense a peace about it? I'll tell you what, I love it. Sometimes you can just walk into a house and you just sense God's presence in it. But there's other times, there's places you walk into that just feels like chaos. And it doesn't even feel like a home. It just feels so hard and so tough. But Joshua said this verse. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. Joshua 24:15. It says, "Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made a huge stand about that and how important that was. And when we think about when we have the Lord being the head of the important part of our house, man, it can change everything. There was a guy in the Bible, his name was Obed-Edom, and there was a thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a point that the Ark of the Covenant needed to be kept, and so they kept it in his house. I think it was like three to six months. It was right around that time frame. But during that time period, his house was blessed. I mean, everything you could imagine. There was just such favor on his house when the Ark of the Covenant was in his house. And so the crazy part is when it took time to move it out, Obed-Edom made a decision that they were going to go with it. They wanted to continue to follow. They wanted to continue to follow that. And I want to say that we need to continue to follow God inside our house, outside our house, because when we do that, I'll tell you what, we see the blessing of God. And I know that there's a lot of things that can take our time. And so I look at that our time can be taken up. I mean, TV used to be so, so important, but now I'm watching my own girls and everybody that, man, we have these, our phones, man, they're just attached to us. It just takes up our time. And I'm not anti that. I'm not anti that stuff, but there's got to be balance to it. I feel like we're out of balance. It makes me sad when I watch like 6 really good friends that they're all can sit in a circle and be on their phones the entire time, and they're missing the opportunity of how they can grow from each other and learn from each other. And so I say that to you that we need to have balance, and we need to get our family, we need to get our family time back. We need to be able to do our best to invest in our family. But we got to put God first in it. I know that's so important that we need to make quality time. We're down to a point where it's 22 minutes a day that you have quality time as a family. 22 minutes. How do you manage that 22 minutes? We need to figure out a way to make that better. I'm talking fast because I'm like so excited about this. But the first thing, we need to let God inhabit our home. The second thing I want to say is get a clear vision for your family. Get a clear vision for your family. Proverbs 22:6 says this. It says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way they should go, and the values they've learned from you will be with them for life. All right, so we need to get a vision for our families. I have been in church world, church life, where I've been in meetings where we've created a vision statement and a mission statement for what we've done. I consult with churches now, and I help them to figure that out. But you know what the most important thing you can do is to get a clear vision for your life and get a clear vision for your family. And when you start to develop those values and you start to develop those things, it'll change the way you do life. It'll change the way, because when your kid's asked to do something or something's going to cost something, you know, when you look at your values and it fits in those values, it's easier to say yes to. And when it's not saying no, but it's a talking point. But when you have no vision for your family and you have no idea where you're going, then you're just, anything is game. And so I look at that maybe many of you go on holiday somewhere. If you go somewhere very special, there's probably some of you that have the whole thing planned out. You have the whole thing. We're going to do this day and this day. And you've figured that out, what you want to do. But if you just go randomly, you're probably going to miss out on what the best things could have been. And I say that for our family, for the time that we're together and the time that we have them, we need to have our values to be strong, and we need to know what they are. There's a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis. Have you ever heard of him before, maybe, from this area? We saw a couple things yesterday, and I love this line. It says this: aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you get neither. And so we need to aim at heaven. We need to be focused on what God wants us to be. And when we do that, and we get to hear from him and the values that he wants to put into our lives, I'll tell you what, we get heaven and we get earth. But if we don't do that, we get neither. And so I want to encourage you to reverse engineer your family. I'm really, really big about saying, I know what I want the end to look like. I know what I want to see that look like, and then I have to work backwards on how to get there. And I know the values, and you start somewhere. Start with some values that say, you know what, this is what my family wants to be, what we're going to be about. And maybe you add things along the way, and you keep adding them as God continues to show you that. I have this big line I would say that we're a work in progress. Like our family, and we are a work in progress. Like we have not arrived. All I know is that I want to keep growing. I want to keep developing of what God wants us to be. And so I want to show you this picture. At Christmas time, Amber, we get lots of snow. You guys had a lot of snow this year. Like I follow what you guys are doing, so I feel like I'm not like, you know, what's going on? Like I know what you guys are doing. I saw snowmen being built. I saw you guys, you know, complaining about how much snow you had and how cold it was. And then you got heat. Now you got the hottest summer you've had in a long time. But at Christmas time, Amber decided, you know, let's get some. It's herbs, right? Herbs. Would you say herbs? We say herbs, and it's so weird for me to say herbs when I know it's herbs when you say it here. So, anyways. So these are some different herbs right here. And so we got them, and it was right after Christmas, and you pour water in it, and it's called an arrow garden, so it's all underneath is this root system. And so each one of these, you know, to grow, there was a thing that it says is that don't take the cap off of it. Don't take the cap off of it until the greens hit the top of, you know, hit the top of the plastic. And so this was several weeks in, and four of them really took off, and they were so good. And these two were just like, these are just like duds. What in the world's going on with these two? And so I was talking to Summer, and I said, you know what? Let's just buy two more. Let's rip these ones out, and let's get two new ones. And she goes, Dad, you have to trust the process. I'm like, okay, all right. So Another week so went by. These ones were going. These two still didn't do anything. And they were just like that, maybe a little bit of growth to it. And I said, Summer, I'm telling you, let's just rip these two out. Let's just rip them out and let's put two new ones in. She goes, Dad, they need nutrients. They need water. I'll tell you what, they don't all grow the same. All right. This was 2 weeks, or this is like a month later after that second conversation. Go to the next one. They all grew. They all developed. And they all, we're at the point where we had to start cutting them. And you had to cut them and prune them. You could use what it was there. And I say that to you guys because there's some of you that might look at maybe someone in your family, or maybe someone's looked at you and said you were a dud and someone didn't see value in you. But I'm telling you what, God has something special that he wants to do in your life. He has something special he wants to do in your family because not all your children are going to develop the same. They're not all going to grow the same way. But you have to keep growing, keep nurturing, keep loving on them. Because I'll tell you what, as you do that, they are going to develop. They are going to grow. And they are going to achieve the things that God's called them to do. So I'm going to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't quit on your family. There might be people you feel are so far away from God. Do not give up on them. Because I'm telling you, in the right time, they will come and they will grow and develop. I always say my brother walked away from God for 16 years. We grew up in the exact same family. We were in the exact same home. We had the same mom and dad that loved us, that took us to church and cared for us. But he had some tough things that happened to him at one point that he walked away from the whole thing. And I want to tell you just to keep praying for them, keep loving on them, keep caring for those ones because in time, they're going to come back around. And I know my brother, he came back around. He came back now that he and his wife, his daughter, I just did their wedding just last fall. And it was just so awesome that she married this amazing guy. And they are serving God together. And so I'm going to tell you, do not give up. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on your kids. Even when they're mad at you and they might say these hurtful things, I'm telling you, just keep loving on them and keep caring for them. Because God has a special, special plan for them. The last one I want to say is this, lead well so your family can follow. Lead well so your family can follow. And I love this verse. It says, my life has been an example to many because of his strength and protection. And I know that God is continually just showing me is the better that I lead and the stronger that I lead, my children are going to see the results of that. If they see me as a praying dad and see me as a nurturing dad and a caring dad, they're going to become that. Like I said, watching them this week continues to grow and develop. It's watching them as they care for their friends and have a heart and passion for lost people. I know that it's going to be 5 years ago this October that my mom passed away. And it happened pretty suddenly. She's been sick for a while, but still it was really happened really, really fast that she had a stroke and she was in the hospital and she was intensive care basically the whole time, the whole 5 days that she was in there. And so it was on a Sunday night and it was like 2 days before she passed away. And there was this nurse there. And we got to know her, and we're talking with her, and I decided one night just to stay the whole night, just wanted to stay overnight. And as I was sitting there talking to her, I said, I just wish you would have known my mom. She was just so amazing. Like, she loved us so much. She loved Jesus. She served. She was funny, and she had so much wit about her. I just wish that you knew who she was. And she said something to me that I'll never, ever forget in my life. And she says, I know her because I know you. And that meant so much to me because I always want my mom, I want the attributes of my mom to continue to go on. I watch a couple of my daughters that have the attributes of what my mom has. And I look at that and I say, as I process that, I said, you know what? People are going to see who Jesus is. Because they see the attributes of him in our lives. What we did this week is exactly what Jesus would have done. Just love on people and to care for people and to go into the estates and to care for them and to come and he'd be jumping on the inflatables with the children just to be able to show how much he loves them. And so when we're able to do that, when we're able to be that, we're doing exactly what Jesus is doing. D.L. Moody says this. He says, a man ought to live so that everyone knows he is a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. I'm going to say this for the United States. I'm sure it applies here too. But I want to say I know that there's some people that you get so involved in church, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your involvement in church. But if you ever get to the point where you're out of balance, that your children feel neglected because of all that you're giving for church, you're missing what the point is. You're missing your first calling of making sure that your children are cared for and loved for and they know who Jesus is. And I hope that it'll be the point where they're serving alongside with you. That's the goal, is to be able to do it as a family. And so to close this out, how do you lead well? This is what I want to close with today. I want you to be present. Be present. All right. Dinner time, man, just get the phones away. I get to the point, honestly, I just leave my work in the car until my girls go to bed. And so I always say this, is that when we have our 9 to 5, we work harder at our 9 to 5. We need to work harder at our 5 to 9, because those are the hours that we have with our children. Eat meals together. Eat meals together. The communication that happens around there, there's a book called The Power of Habit, and it talks so much about that we need to have great communication with your family, that you should eat a meal together on a daily basis, because that opens up conversations at night and in the morning. But it has to be intentional what you do. Next thing I would say is to show integrity. Show integrity. Do the right thing. Show your children the right thing. When they are young, they will follow what we say, but when they are older, they will follow what we do. So be someone who has high integrity, because your children need to see that. And the last thing I'll say that is be an example of prayer, worship, one having a passion for God, serving, loving others, being quick to forgive, and being a great witness. My last thing I think about is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We know that little boy that had the fish and the loaves. I always think a little further into a story. I always think about, I wonder who packed his lunch that day. I wonder if it was a mom that, maybe it was like my mom, every single morning before school, before I could walk out of the door to get the bus, she would stop me, and she would wrap her arm. I don't know how she did it, but she put her arms in my arms like this. Like, she was not strong enough to be able to stop me from anything, but God must have given her the strength to lock my arms, that she goes, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. And I'll tell you what, my school life was great, because I know I had a praying mom every single day that cared for me. And I think that that boy that had those loaves and fish, I bet you every day, but just in my head, I'm thinking that mom was probably praying for him, saying, boy, let him be a miracle today. Because he could have kept those loaves and those fish, but he freely gave it up, and we have a miracle in the Bible because of that. And so I just want to encourage you today, let God inhabit your home. Let him be the Lord of your home. Let it be very evident when people walk into your house that they can sense Jesus in there. Practically, get a clear vision for your family. Take some time. You don't do it in a day. You sit down and you pray about it and you think about it. Husbands and wives, I would tell you, sit down and separately write out some words, then come together and see which words you have in common and start to look at that, those values put together. If you're not married, I'm telling you, start thinking about your values right now. Because when God brings the right person in your life, I hope it's clear and evident, completely clear and evident, that you'll know and say, man, that is somebody who has the same values that I have. And lastly, I would say lead well so your family can follow. Lead well. Let people look at you and say, man, that's somebody who's leading his family well. That's a woman who is leading her family well. I just want you to close your eyes for a second, and maybe you're here today and maybe something was a spark in you today saying, yeah, I see the passion and that's in your life. I see the passion from this worship here. And you're saying, you know, I'm ready that I would like to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender it all to him. I want to give it all to him. I want to be the person that Jesus can count on. I want to be the person that people can look at and see Jesus in them. If that's you, I just want you to just raise your hands. Anybody feeling that way today? Say, you know what, I need to, there's some things I need to surrender. Amen. Thanks for your honesty. Thanks for your honesty. God, I thank you for these hands that are up right now. I just pray, Lord, that you, Lord, will just begin to instill in them, Lord, such a passion for you. Lord, I pray right now that they will get a clear vision, Lord, for their family and just lead so well. God, I pray right now you bring right relationships into their life, right friendships, God, that will help them and encourage them and strengthen them. I'm just kind of sensing today that there's some of you that have been struggling and you're frustrated maybe about how you've been as a parent. Maybe you feel like you haven't been as involved and as plugged in. I'm going to tell you, it's never too late. Today's a great day to flip that switch on and say, you know what? I'm going to do better. I'm gonna love better. I'm gonna care better. I'm gonna love my spouse better so my kids can see that. I'm not gonna have you raise your hand on that one. I just really feel like I'm supposed to pray over you on that. And if you'd like to talk or like to pray about that, I would love to pray with you. Some other leaders here that would also be willing to pray with you. So God, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for every single person in this place. God, I pray that they will make the priority of putting you first. Lord, I pray that they will love their spouse correctly. I pray that they'll care for their children and lead them well. And God, I pray right now, even in these next 4 months, Lord, that you will just instill in them a clear vision for their family of what they want to become. I pray now that they have such clarity of knowing that they know and they're intentional about their family time. And God, for every person here that future and thinking about at some point being married and having a family, Lord, I pray right now that they work on their person right now, that they work on their life and know that what they're pouring into their lives right now, Lord, the decisions that they make now will carry into their marriage. It'll carry into the way they care for their family. Lord, let them be intentional about the decisions that they make. Help them to put you first. And God, I pray now for every single family in this church, every single family in this community. God, I pray that they will make a change that it takes to be able to put you first. That they will be intentional, Lord, of not just depending upon the church for everything that's spiritual, but Lord, that they will take the time themselves and pour into their children. Lord, just like they help with homework, God, I pray now that they will instill right values into their children. I pray right now that the stress will drop in their families. The Lord, they can be able to focus on them when the time happens. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. Because I know this is not easy. It's not easy. But it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding when you see your children serving and loving you. Can we stand up together just in close? I know our time is done right now, but I'd like to encourage you as a family that sometime either today or sometime this week, I'd love you to just get together as a family and pray. If dad's at home, man, dad, please step up and be that role. Be that role. There's a lot of times you can feel inadequate and you feel like you can't do it, but I'm telling you that God will give you the strength and he's just wanting you just to try. Your kids will be more gracious to you than you think. They want to see you lead well. If dad's not in the picture, mom, you're going to have to be that strength and still lead your children and lead them well and lead them through this season right now. We love you guys, and we're so, so thankful. And I am looking forward to years to come to see families coming in and learning and developing and growing. And this city is going to be one, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you so much. Love you guys.